You're listening to Gone Mobile, your input and output for all things .NET MAUI and mobile.
Welcome back to another Gone Mobile. Well, we got through episode 100, and this is 101. And 101 is a great number for describing like classes and stuff, right?
Class?
Like the entry level course or something like
that.
Oh,
I thought we could go all downhill from here.
That too. I mean, maybe it's a restart, right? It's like Gone Mobile 101, your basic intro, everything's new again.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my original assessment. Let's go downhill from here.
Let's go downhill, or at least down a rabbit hole. Sure. Is that what we're doing today?
That's a bad lead-in. That's a dad joke, but let's go with it.
So, yeah, what are we talking about? We talked about bindings on a previous episode, yeah, I think,
today,
right?
We're going to talk about slim bindings because the community is squawking up a storm about it. Let's talk about it.
Yes.
I think a lot of people don't understand
it is pertinent.
Means. But I think if we look at the definition of slim,
yeah, it means thin, slim, whatever, little, narrow,
focused,
little, small,
focused.
Yeah, I like. Oh, that would have been we should have called them bindings. Focused bindings.
Who's in charge of your marketing? Is this a David thing?
I don't. I mean, it's not too. I just use the term slim at some point because I had to describe it, and I didn't think naming is hard, right? I mean.
All right.
I didn't call them like, you know, Slim Bindings 5000 EXNT or something like that.
True.
So
all right.
We're not as bad as it could be.
So stick with slim bindings, focus bindings. Let's see if it catches
it on. Might, and in that vein, in that train of thought, you know, it might surprise you or it might not to know that I came up with the name for Resizitizer as well.
I did know that because that was marked as an original. Redth package.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gonna start calling you.
Which
Red
is
Thunder,
now.
Though. I think that's.
Oh yeah, fair.
Red that's Thunder fair. From now on.
All right, so slim bindings. So we talked about bindings. Bindings. I think you can go back and listen to that episode if you haven't. We're not going to go through that all again. And I think we talked a little bit about slim bindings on that episode, or at least mentioned them.
I don't
maybe.
Remember. I'm old. I forget things now. Probably we did.
All right.
Probably because it's recent.
We
enough.
Talked a little bit.
It's recent enough we had to have.
Right. So if we wanted to recap, slim bindings, how would you describe them?
Do you mean how would I describe fat bindings or slim bindings? Slim bindings.
No, slim, like focused
bindings. Focused bindings. Basically picking out the stuff that you want. I think really the troubles with the full bindings is requires, you know, a good chunk, basically all the package, right? You can't really just focus on...
Yeah.
The one method signature, because then you have to deal with all the types of it, which means you have to dig in, see all the types, all the members that you need out of that. Is it async? Is it generics? All that fun stuff, right? Depending on which side of the spectrum we're talking in terms of slim bindings. But it requires a lot of knowledge about the actual package you're consuming. And if you're not working in Xcode or kind of a Maven-y Java world, it's really hard to see that, right? So, I mean, slim bindings aren't going to get rid of that, but it's going to force you to go into kind of that world, right? And really understand what you're about to consume. So, for instance, if we talk about something like Firebase, that one I love to bring up because that's fresh, right?
Yeah, well, and that's an area of focus. So to give a little backstory too, Alan and I have done a little bit of work more recently together on creating some, you know, examples or the short of it is they're not, I can't link them to you today, not to you, Alan. You obviously have the link to them because you've written some of them, but, you know, we've got this concept that we're working through. We want to make sure that we do it, that we're happy with it, that it's working well, that we think it's, you know, scalable, sustainable, et cetera. It's looking really good. And soon we'll push some stuff over the fence, I think. And the idea being, you know, there's a bunch of these bindings that haven't been updated in a while. Like we used to do updates for bindings for Firebase stuff. The problem is they're a lot of work. And for the reasons that you described, like it's something that takes a lot of time. And it we're in this weird spot where there's some customers that these things are very important to, but it's definitely not, you know, the whole breadth of customers that actually use them. So it's, you know, a smaller group, but it's pretty critical to that smaller group. So we want to move everyone forward and get them, you know, upgraded happily and everything. But we kind of want to take a different approach to how to do that. And part of it is kind of helping people help themselves. So it's, we're not sure yet if it's going to be like, here's NuGet packages and stuff, because that has its own set of, you know, challenges and things that you had to do. Or if it's just going to be like, here's, you know, a good structured example of how to do Firebase. And maybe it has the slim bindings for the things that you need and you're good to go, or maybe you need some more and you can pull it down and, you know, extend that yourself.
Well, so talking about messaging is one of those good ones, because there's not really a lot. Like, a lot of people are really, really kind of uppity about needing Firebase messaging for iOS. And there's quite a few types. Like, there's delegates. Like, Firebase injects their own stuff because they're trying to make it more or less the same as the Android equivalent. But it's really just a small subset of methods that you need, right? So why expose this big package and all these dependencies and stuff and try and consume it? Because the other thing is John and I went through this, it's like, what's the cool package manager with Xcode right now? Is it Carthage? Is it, yeah. Is it Pods? I've been using CocoaPods forever, and now it's Swift package manager. And I'm like,
Or it's go download the zip file XC with frameworks in it from someone, right? Like, there's a bunch of different ways. And that, you know, I know one of the arguments that I hear too is like, well, the hard part of this all isn't, and I've made this argument myself. The hard part isn't necessarily as much the binding part of it. I mean, yeah. That is a hard part, but getting the actual packages and knowing how to build those into your project and linked and making sure this all kind of works well together is one of the hardest parts of it, especially on iOS, right? On Mac Catalyst with Xcode.
And that was, I mean, as we worked through the Firebase stuff, I mean, John and I hit a whole bunch of stuff. We had the iOS team going, guys, what are we doing wrong here? Right. And yeah. So we went through the XC frameworks. John had this whole make files set up. It screwed up my builds, and we kept going back and forth about this is broken, we're missing this. And eventually, when you read the docs, it's like, okay, well, right now, the cool way to do it and the way that Google wants to do it is through Swift Package Manager. And as soon as we started switching to that, we understood the dependencies. You know, we were able to build stuff, and lo and behold, we got Firebase messaging and some analytics stuff working in. Once we understood the path and how we were going to link things, it just stuff started kind of going bang, bang, bang from there, right?
Yeah. Now I will say I had trouble trying to use Swift Package Manager with some other ones too. So like, I think the story here is, unfortunately, there's no one size fits all choice. And this is part of why I say, like, going between the idea of, do we want to try and ship out a bunch of these kind of slim bindings as packages, or really is it more the foundation of like, okay, we know we found a good pattern to use for Firebase, for instance, and so we're going to give you, you know, the code and the structure and the Xcode project setup and all the, and we'll talk about what that means exactly in a bit too, and all of the things kind of in place that are in a good state where you generally just build them and is going to work, so that you can have that as a starting point, right? So you don't have to figure out the hard stuff like, do I use Swift Package Manager? How do I link these things in? What do I need to set up in my project? Like that, the idea would be that's in place for you. Now, if you've got some random, you know, library that you want to use, like obviously we're not going to do this for everything under the sun. But the goal is to have the popular ones anyway, you know, covered, and maybe even get community to kind of contribute back some of that too, right? So maybe there is something that people are using and somebody wants to put an example that's working up in there and we pull that back in for others to look at.
I'll be honest, if we're talking about slim bindings, the obviously stuff like Firebase where the calls are very, they're pretty straightforward. You don't need to, you know, bring out a whole huge API surface. They work really well.
Yep.
So for Firebase, we can bang those out. On the iOS side, it's actually quite easy. Now, when we talk about controls, this is where things get a little bit heftier. I don't think that we've determined yet if slim binding is actually an answer there or not yet. I think John's kind of fighting that battle in a different binding right now. Is a slim binding too slim? Is it a middleman that's now become unnecessary, like an unnecessary abstraction? And do we just need the fat binding for that? The full kit and caboodle, so to speak, to get the whole map, like a map, right? Are you going to do a slim binding on a map control?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I liked to use Mapbox as one of my examples, you know, kind of the canonical example, because it has a lot of parts that make you think harder about that question, right? So with a map control, well, like one of the things you're going to have to do is bring that actual map view from that native library back into your app, right? And display it within, say, like a MAUI page. Like, how do you do that? There's a few different steps that you have to make. And this is one of the things that I was starting to work through with, I think it was Google Mobile Ads, was, you know, the one that I was kind of wrestling with. Is this better as a binding? Is it better as a slim binding? And I will, you know, give you the spoiler of I'm torn, honestly, at this point, because doing the binding itself, not super easy. Even like the working with what gets generated, like finally got it to a point where it's building and I think it's mostly good. But if I have to think through what it's going to look like to do updates to that, it might be fine for a while. Like, let's say we're at version 11 or whatever, and, you know, 11.3 maybe isn't so bad. 11.4, not so bad, not that many changes. But if you look back through even that library's history, there's been massive changes between some of the major versions, at which point you're kind of back to a square one of you just got to do it fresh again. And then by the time you make that move, and part of what you do, especially on iOS when you're creating binding, like the full bindings, is you're kind of tweaking the output that you get from like Objective Sharpie, which kind of gives you the first pass at generating this thing that is describing how to generate the binding, right? Like, it's this really niche concept that is hard to learn. And even like I had to go back to like Alex Soto, you know, the iOS team lead, and like you're saying, I'll be like, what do I do here? I don't know how to do this. And I used to do this, like, this was my job for years, right? And I forget already.
Bindings are hard.
Once you understand
how to do the mapping, though, it's actually quite simple. The fact that you went with Objective Sharpie out of the box, so that was an interesting choice. I did not.
Well, no, but because, like, the difference here is when you try and bind the full API of something like Google Ads, Google Mobile Ads SDK, there's a lot of weird objectives. Well, I think... Is that one still? Yeah, that one's still Objective-C. There's a lot of weird Objective-C things that Sharpie doesn't know how to process very well. Because, like, at the end of the day, they're trying to parse C header files, and there's just a lot of inconsistencies there to make that work. It's just the reality. So if I was doing that manually, for one, it would take me forever. Like, the API definition for that file is hundreds and hundreds of lines long. Like, it's not small. There's probably 50 classes in it or something, right? And then you're having to go, you know, grab selectors, and like, to do it from scratch manually, no thank you. That's going to be not a productive use of my time and very error prone. To use Sharpie, fine as a starting point, but there's so many changes that I made to like massage this thing into like what you want it to be, to get it to build, even, because there's just, you know, different like delegates and callbacks, and then different structs and enums and stuff, and like C functions that you kind of didn't think you needed, but then there's some code examples that are like, oh no, I really do need to do that, but it's printing back a CG rect or something, and it actually needed to be an int pointer. Just so many of these changes that are not obvious, that if I have to go redo, or like I said, if I have to start from square one again at some point, it's just a lot of work. And so the difference of thinking about it rather as the slim binding is more the, I'm not going to expose any of that really weird stuff that doesn't map well to C sharp from a binding in my slim API, my wrapper API. And if I don't do anything weird, it's going to generally be very easy to bind. And so that's the foundation of the premise, right?
But so you're working with a lot of complex types and stuff there, which is kind of what is the point I was making, where the slim binding is good, because you can really take it down to the base types. So again, going back to Firebase messaging on iOS,
yeah,
really, they have some complex objects you can pass, and they have a complex delegate. Actually, I don't want to call it complex. It's really like two methods. But really, when you break it all down, it's just like a, okay, we don't need any of that. We need a couple strings. There's some async methods here, right? Which you can really, the binding sits on quite nicely. It'll turn that into a C#, you know, task. Does a good job of that out of the box. But yep. Kind of really breaking down the calls and doing some of that work in Swift or in Objective-C, where, you know, you can work with all the types and realizing, you know, I need this kind of information out of it, and maybe I need to send just this small bit of information into it, right? So it you can really kind of simplify what it is that you're about to bind, and therefore make everything easier, because again, that binding can be difficult. And it just...
Yeah, and then when there's big updates between versions, right, you just need to update your layer,
exactly.
Like your implementation of that layer. And that's generally going to be a lot easier than trying to redo
the binding. Because now you don't know, is the bot, okay, where is this thing screwed up? Because again, a lot of .NET developers kind of in the MAUI don't, I'm going to guess a lot of them don't even open Xcode. But I'll bet you a lot of them don't code in Xcode. I mean, even Swift, I've never personally used Swift professionally. I want to, it's kind of a nice language. I have done Objective-C, so Objective-C is easy to consume. So obviously you're going to have that scare factor of, oh, I don't know Swift. But, you know, you kind of got to know the layers you're sitting on. So once I figured out Swift and got in there, okay, it's pretty easy. Now I understand what I'm converting, right?
Well, and truthfully, like for you digging into that, even for the Firebase, for example, like, am I wrong in assuming that you go and look at Google's documentation, and like they show you how to do the things that you want to do in Swift, right? And so it's not like you have to know Swift. Like you need to know enough to stumble through some copy and pasting and like massaging things a little bit, right? It's not like it's, you know, learning everything about Swift. Like I don't know Swift, but I can do this.
And the other big thing is I understood the API that I was about to consume, right? So yeah, I can follow Google. Okay, this is the package you want us to use now. This is the dependencies. Oh, you want me to use Swift, the Swift package manager. That was a big debate we had. And we started using it, and that got us through a couple of issues. John's bringing up new info that it caused him some issues, which we'll have to see after. He's bringing up new information in our
podcast. Yeah, I mean, not for Firebase per se, but like, yeah, it was a bit of a journey. And so like that's, again, full disclosure, that's the hard part of this, and why I really think there's value in having some of the patterns out there for the popular libraries, because, you know, we can have people who know a little bit more about that area figure out how to get that baseline established. And then from there, it's like, okay, if I don't have to figure out linker flags for how to consume this XC framework because it's an XC framework, but really it's kind of a fake XC framework because it contains normal frameworks in it, and you need to know those linker, like, that's hard,
right? And that's what we spent.
But if we've figured that out for you,
we spent a lot of time with little flags. There's, you know, Xcode changes. It seems like we had to add a bunch of different flags for Xcode, the Xcode build command line. So that, it was all fun. We got through it. We've got bindings that are working for a few of the Firebase libraries. But again, very, very standard. Mm-hmm. Those are more, they're not control-based, except for, I guess, AdMobs a little bit.
Yeah, but again, like that one, even if it's control-based, at the end of the day, again, same with the map. If I have my simple API, my wrapper is just like, get the map view and it returns a UI view, because the map view and the add view, the banner view are all ultimately UI views, but we already know what a UI view is in the .NET world. Creating that binding for that API is really trivial, right? It's because it's where you get into all the different hierarchy of types and kind of like delegates and completion handler stuff and all these things, that's where it becomes tricky for Sharpie to do the right thing.
Again, you're hoping the best for Sharpie. I guess I found for Firebase getting Sharpie was kind of in my way. Once you understand the true mapping and how you're doing it, I found that more comforting, because Sharpie, I guess it's pick your poison, right? Sharpie will generate the world for you, and then everything will be broken, or there'll be tons of compiler errors, and then you got to go through and figure it out. Whereas if you, I don't know, the Slim binding, I felt more comfortable starting from scratch and working out from there. But
Yeah, and I mean, you know enough, I think, about the bindings to do that. Like the thing that I kind of, the way I look at it is, could we make it, you know, so that as long as you keep that wrapper, that API, you know, reasonably written, like Sharpie's just going to work. And it's close to that today. And that might be something that, you know, we take back to the team who maintains Sharpie and say, like, you know, for instance, it'll output some like attributes that are like verify. And they'll maybe have a message and be like, are you sure you want this to be a property? Maybe you actually did want it to be a method because it's mapping to a selector that doesn't have the concept of like properties and methods really, right? It's a selector. So like there's stuff like that, that like you're saying, when you use Sharpie out of the box, it's not going to compile necessarily. And so I think the goal would be to get to a point where, you know, that running the thing that generates that API definition in C#, that binding just works every time. And so you could do it as a repeatable thing. That way, when somebody comes in and says, I actually also need to use this method, so I'm going to go into the Swift code and I'm going to add myself, you know, one new method that returns a string and takes an integer or something like that, and then calls the actual SDK thing, and it's easy. How do, you know, for that person, it's like, well, how do I get that into the binding part? If they don't know how to just, you know, write the API definition for these bindings, this is going to be tricky, right?
But really understand.
So I think that's part of the goal.
Consuming, right? That's the key thing. And that's why I found it easier, because you really, you know, when you're doing a binding, you don't really have IntelliSense. There's no IntelliSense. You have to look at the raw code.
Yeah.
So when you're working in Xcode or Android Studio, you can really kind of see the code. Like the IntelliSense is obviously going to work there. You're in a native language. And it's all working, and you understand, okay, this is what I got to do. This is what I got to call. You know, Google's able to tell you these are the packages or the dependencies you need. Otherwise, it's not going to compile, right? Like you understand right there whether you've got a working product or not, right? And you can even do native tests to make sure that you still got a working product on that end, and then bring it over the fence, do the binding. And the binding is actually fairly simple. Once you understand the dependencies that you're bringing over, I think the only thing we had is that we had to figure out the challenge of making sure that there's not a duplicated dependency, right? So when we talk about something
so that's a hard.
So
part.
The debate we originally had was, let's just, John wanted to ship the huge Firebase everything, Firebase the world, right? And I think that we kind of went back and forth like that. It'll make the binding easy. But then people complain about size, and then we have to hope on the linker is going to do jobs and yada, yada, yada. Anyhow, we did end up finding a kind of a middle ground there where it was like, okay, well, really analytics is the core now, you know, so messaging will there'll be a NuGet or a project, whatever we want to call it for analytics. Mm-hmm. That'll be the core. Messaging will have a library. It'll reference that core. When it goes over to the bindings, it'll reference that core. Boom. It was working. We got that working. And now we're kind of bleeding that through into stuff like, I think I started to work on remote config, same thing, take that dependency. And now we're stopping that, you know, duplication of the resource, which was kind of causing issues for the compiler. It doesn't like seeing the same dependency.
And it's
twice.
Still like the hard part of it too, is at the end of it, it's still going to potentially cause problems if there's other packages out there that ship, you know, those frameworks and stuff in them, right? And there's not really a clean way to avoid that at this point. I know one of the conversations, this is, we've had more for Android. I don't know if this would actually really work for iOS, because there's no, like we talked about, there's CocoaPods, there's Cartage, there's Swift Package Manager, you know, downloading zips and stuff. There's so many ways to get these things. But on the Android side, I know we talked about, well, if we had to go back in time and do it all again, maybe instead of shipping like the AAR and jar files in a NuGet package or in a binding, you know, we should have actually articulated like what Maven package this pertained to, so that, or even if we did ship them in the binding, so that you could at least start to reconcile during the build, like, oh, this thing brings in, you know, Android X
123.
I don't know what's one of the libraries. Yeah, but and so like it brings in this thing, and even it might embed it. But maybe I only want to take, like, I want to start doing the rules of like this other one brings in a newer version, so we'll use that one instead. And then the build could actually sort itself out in terms of what dependencies to grab. But none of that exists today. And so at the end of the day, yeah, like there's going to be cases where maybe somebody decides, no, I'm going to, you know, ship my thing with all this, and you want to use their NuGet, and then you want to use this one, and like, sorry, you kind of can't. Or maybe you can if you know how to, like, you know, do the right MS build stuff in your project to tell it to remove things from item groups that got brought in from a NuGet, but that's not going to be an easy thing to do.
Yeah, and it's going to require understanding of why they're colliding, right? Yeah, if you've been doing this long enough, you knew that this happened with Android, right? You'd be like, hey, this type is here, but it's also over here, right? And that would always be, it's damn support packages. I hate those things, right? Yeah, you'd always see that. And it usually meant a support package, one of your support packages somewhere down the chain wasn't at the same version, right? Android X has supposedly improved that. That's still a debate.
I mean, even in then, I know that over time, like, they've moved types between, you know, assemblies or like their, you know, jars or whatever. And if you have one thing asking for this version, another for that, like, you might run into like, oh, I thought this type was going to be here and it's not. And even in their own ecosystem, it's not perfect. So, but I wanted to back up a second. You know, we were talking about like the whole, on iOS especially, you know, Objective Sharpie, ideally, I could make changes to Swift and build everything, and like all of that would just happen and to generate the binding, et cetera, for me. That might not be something we easily get to as much with Objective Sharpie. But one of the other cool things that's happening in .NET, and this is all happening out in the open, we'll put a link to it too, is there is work to make Swift, you know, interop a thing that is possible with .NET. There's some, you know, early previews of like some tooling and stuff around it that support a very small subset of ways that you can interop with it. But Swift is a lot easier of a thing in a lot of ways to parse the, you know, the actual API out of a Swift package or library, and be able to like get that in a kind of really concise and consistent format such that you could try to generate a binding from it, right? Again, always the challenge with Objective-C is just that's not an easy problem to solve with that language. And so what they're trying to do is basically make it so they've got a tool to emit, you know, that interop code for you. And so I could foresee eventually, once that gets mature enough, plugging that into here and being able to generate the interop, you know, directly into the Swift API wrapper that is the Slim binding. So right now, once that code gets out there and you go look at it, we actually annotate all of the types and methods and stuff with that Objective-C attribute or annotation, right? And that tells Xcode to generate Objective-C headers that are actually the thing that we bind to. So we're kind of like going around the long way to interop into this Swift code right now, but in the future we might have a more direct line that's more reliably, yeah, kind of just works for these simple cases.
Sounds exciting. I took a look at the preview. It's marked as .NET 9.
Yeah.
It's definitely still early stages. Like the bindings they're doing, obviously very simple, you know, straightforward. Here's a Swift, you know, a hello world. Here it is strongly typed in the .NET world. It works.
Yep.
I'll be curious to see how they start to manage dependencies and, you know, the Swift. Well, again, you still do Xcode, right? So you're still doing Swift and Xcode.
Yeah.
You're still doing the Swift package manager. I don't think you're going to see that.
Yeah, they're
not going to see that in Visual Studio anytime soon. This is
no.
It's going to help, or it should help, or at least if anything else, it's going to be bindings to Swift as opposed to this kind of end around that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully, as there's more like frameworks out there that are Swift only, like most of them seem to, you know, do the Objective-C header thing because they know people are still using Objective-C like crazy. But obviously we're getting more and more down the Swift path, right? So, you know, there's going to be, and I know there's already some libraries and frameworks out there that are Swift only. And so either then you'd have to hope they're open source so that you can generate the Swift or the Objective-C headers, you know, do that yourself. Otherwise, like, oh, sorry. So this should give us the avenue to support those as
well. This is also a place to help kind of centralize things in a manner of speaking anyways, because now even if you take an Objective-C library or you're taking a Swift library, you're going to do your Slim bindings probably in Swift, right? it kind of equalizes the equation. So you can still have Objective-C, you can still have Swift, right? You can reference them, you can IntelliSense them in Xcode properly, build your slim binding for what you need it to do, and ship it over the fence. And you're, it's now, if we start treating everything like Swift, even if we're doing Objective-C kind of cheats in the meantime, or wraparounds, or eventually moving off to the Swift binding thing, it'll be kind of the same game, right? It's just, we're dealing with Swift. We're just, at some point it's going to get better.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do we get to bring up, do I get to talk about Android today? Do we get to talk about Android? Are we just,
I mean,
Android's so a bit we, more of an interesting,
we mostly talk about,
right?
Yeah. I mean, we talk about iOS mostly just because that,
that's where most of the noise is.
I want to, like, I don't want to say it's harder. It is. So, and there's a couple reasons. Like, so one of the reasons is, for one, doing Android bindings in some ways can be easier than iOS. I'm not going to say that as a blanket statement, because sometimes that's not the case at all.
The debate is coming.
But in terms of, like, maintaining bindings for, like, Google Firebase stuff,
yes,
I would argue that Android is easier to do that with the way that bindings work today than iOS is. And so we see that more as something that we maintain. And the other part of that is, like, Google has really blurred the lines of, like, what it means for something to be in the box on Android, kind of thing, right? Like, there's Android.jar, which is, like, the whole set of default Android platform APIs. But they, over the years, did the support libraries and then now the Android X stuff. And so if you actually want to use many things on Android, like, you have to use the Android X libraries. Arguably, you almost have to use the Google Play Services stuff, right? We've talked about stuff like geolocation, where the way to do it is Google Play Services. We don't yet, because we didn't want to take that dependency, but, like, the alternative is, like, just a way worse experience of getting that information than what Google provides you with Play Services. So the argument can kind of be made that for us to support Android, we kind of have to support a lot of that ecosystem around it, whereas the inverse is not really true on iOS.
Minus the noise around the Firebase messaging, because people are using that. Right.
Right. They're using it. But again, like, that's not part of iOS. That's another
Google
thing.
Right.
Right.
I get it. Now, I will say, though, going to the other side, so Android bindings notoriously have been easier in the past. But as we enter this Kotlin era, right? So again, I think this is a bit, some of the documentation's a little bit behind. Right. Obviously, on the Objective-C Swift, it's a little bit behind. But I think one of the key challenges that, especially that I've had, there's a couple of libraries I'm looking at in the Kotlin area for doing bindings right now, stuff that kind of will give you kind of a good punch in the face or a realization that the Kotlin stuff is a bit behind, is when you get to generics, right? It's just a big old fat Java lang object that you can't really do much with. Like, you can't really get data out of it. Right. You really got to do something with it. Right. You really got to get, you got to throw something over the fence that you can get, because it's not, there's nothing else in it. You can't reflect any values out of it. It's basically dead data. Sure, it returns you something, but you can't cast it because it never bound that object. And it's basically a useless object. Right. The other problem is that right now, when we look at Kotlin, a lot of things are becoming async, just like the .NET world. Just like Swift, everything's async. Mm-hmm. Well, there's not, even though the Kotlin kind of base library is there, I forget what it's called. I'm having a brain fart.
Yeah, Kotlin standard. Yeah, there's all standard stuff. There's a bunch of them too, right? The dependency tree is ugly.
But there's nothing to actually do an await properly there. So that binding doesn't exist, right? You're probably not going to want to take the interface for the Kotlin async kind of handler and do it yourself, because I think that's going to be a rough experience. So again, this is where now we start to enter a slim binding. So what I've started to do, and this is that I've been talking to John about it for a while, is the Android X Health, right? So obviously the Microsoft team isn't going to take that on because it's marked as alpha. Why something that's being used actively in production from Google is marked as an alpha? Who knows? I don't think
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms that we've dealt with, right? Like, it's like, yeah.
The brain surgeons in Google, I don't even think, no. Anyhow, they are actively advertising use this alpha. And they're moving very slowly on it, even though health is very now active in Android 14. But the API they've written exclusively in Kotlin, right? So I can't consume it properly because of async and because of generics. However, this is, again, where Swift, the slim bindings, I was going to call them Swift bindings. Oh, that would have been a slip of the tongue, eh? Mm-hmm. This is where the slim bindings can kind of help, right? Now, I might do a get average heart rate or get by date, right? So I can throw an easy daytime over the fence. Those bind easy, right? And instead of returning a generic list, I'm actually going to return a list or an array of a bound type, right? So the heart rate object will be fully understood. I'll have to bind it at both ends. I'll have to define it. Maybe I might even define my own little small object of it, right? Because
I was going to say, like, is that maybe the play to create your own class that, you know, is just super basic, no subclass, you know, shenanigans.
Well, and on. I might, because honestly, when you look at some of the health metrics that you can get out of it, right? It's like you can go into hospital level details, right down to like,
yeah,
you know, all sorts of metrics. And sometimes when we're talking about like, what's the average heart rate? And I just want to get it from a health API. I don't want to hook up to some sort of Bluetooth sensor. I don't want to do any, just the metrics in Apple Health or it's in Google Health, right? Just get it from there because they've got all these things and all those values around it. So it's very easy to kind of pull those, you know, just the base types that you want out of it. And again, if we're talking slim bindings, it's always easy to go in. If you've got to add something to it later, set it up, compile it, rebind it on the other end, and off you go, right? So basically simplifying what I need out of it while getting rid of the generic problem that I have that's a problem today with Kotlin and kind of the I was going to call it Xamarin. What are we calling it now? .NET MAUI. .NET, mm-hmm. .NET for Android binding. .NET.
Just .NET.
Just .NET.
Sure.
I don't know the marketing scheme, so I just go with whatever works. Anyhow, it's a problem, right? So now I can just do the simple types in my slim binding, throw them across the fence. I don't want to do that long term. I'm hoping there's a better Kotlin story in the future. But certainly, if I need something,
it is work, right?
It is. There's something that definitely will need to be figured out there at some point, like doing async with Kotlin, just like we can do with Swift. Now, kind of.
Yeah, the tricky part with that, you know, just to dig in to that a little bit, you know, Kotlin is interesting because it is effectively, it compiles down to bytecode, right? So it's no different in a sense like that at the end of it, you have this Java bytecode, even if you're using Kotlin. And so if you think of maybe a comparison would be like how .NET, you know, IL looks like, for like async await stuff, right? There's like the state machine and all that kind of stuff. And if you disassemble, you know, the compiled, you know, version of what .NET looks like there, it's kind of hairy. Well, kind of the same thing on Android with Kotlin and the way that it supports those things, right? So the binding story there is hard because what you want is a binding to like a Kotlin-ism. But we don't bind an interop at the Kotlin level. We interop at the bytecode level. And so that I'm sure there's, you know, smart people on the Android team. I know there are smart people on the Android team and they can probably figure out, you know, a nice way to deal with some of those patterns, because obviously like the bytecode that it's going to emit for that type of pattern is probably going to be consistent, you know, for that example. Right. So I'm sure there are things that they can do to improve it, but it is kind of a weird, interestingly unique problem because of how Kotlin effectively just compiles down to bytecode, I guess is
right.
The point.
But again, if we go back to the slim bindings, if I need to get around that in the meantime, it's just as easy to throw a callback across the pipe, right? Do the async in the Kotlin code.
Yes.
Then when the async completes, call the callback. Well, I can wrap that in a task completion source in the C# and do it myself in the meantime, right? So there's ways to get around it, and the slim bindings do help that.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing I will say about slim bindings too for Android is that it's kind of a weird situation. So if we take Sharpie out of the picture on Objective-C and kind of the iOS side, iOS is very much like a whitelisting. You have to basically include what you want, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the Android
they kind of go from the opposite directions.
It tries to get everything out of the box, and then you have, oh no, ignore that. Ignore that too. Oh, and that entire namespace. Yeah, I don't use any of that crap. Throw it all out, right? So Android goes looking at the entire thing. You have to blacklist what you don't want or exclude what you don't want. It's kind of annoying, right? I guess it depends on, I think that's why I like the iOS portion of it better, because I like to start with the minimum and work my way out, as opposed to here's a massive list of errors. Have fun, right?
Yeah.
But again, the slim binding is now just,
to be fair, looks at
that one little portion. So I've almost.
And again, even with Android, like, you're going to have an easy time. It's just going to work, right? Because you've kept your API simple that it's going to bind.
And it's very small. So the same thing comes across, because it doesn't look at the dependencies, thankfully, when you're doing it. It looks at your stuff, right? It doesn't look at your dependencies. So you still have to include the dependency in the box, right? Because your library's got a dependency on it.
Which is
another challenge. It's not hard, because you're already including your jar or your ARR or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's more when you get into libraries that have a really complex dependency graph too. Again, go back to Mapbox as an example. They had a few things. One, which was like, if you wanted to get access to those binaries, they were in their own custom Maven feed that required authentication. And so it's like, you can't just go download the set of things somewhere. You have to, so like the way to solve that eventually was basically getting into Android Studio, configuring a project to use, you know, their authenticated feed, having that resolve the dependencies down to like a, you know, one of the intermediary build folders, and then you could go grab them all from there. But part of the challenge there then becomes, okay, something like Mapbox, which is going to have views and things, is probably using a bunch of Android X packages. And now you got to go figure out, okay, what ones do I pull over from, you know, Android Studio, having pulled over that down that whole dependency chain? What ones do I leave out because I have a NuGet on my app that already pulls it in and have to make sure it's the right version, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. So that does become
still a challenge there.
I guess at some point you have to understand that, again, it comes back to understanding what you're about to consume, right? So if I'm about to consume health, this Health X, Android X, I forget what it's called. It's a stumbling name. But if I want to take that, I know what dependencies roughly it's pulling in. And if you go check NuGet, right? And pretty much the Android team has bound almost everything, at least all the main stuff for Android X. So it's usually pretty easy to go and find that equivalent dependency without having to pull it in. So when I'm doing my slim binding, I'm understanding, okay, I need my code, obviously. It has to come. I need the thing that I'm slim binding on because it doesn't exist. So I'm bringing that one as well. What dependencies are missing from that huge, that Android X guy I'm bringing in, right? So yeah, that can be challenging because it's not really easy to analyze that dependency tree, because you have to know what you're looking for there. And it's, you know, depending on the IDE.
Well, you can in Android Studio or with Gradle, right? Like there are ways you can kind of print out the graph and everything, but that's not something everybody knows.
Well, it's also CLI based, right? At least the method that I use.
Yeah.
Right. Like in if you're accustomed to Visual Studio, if I need to see a dependency tree for the most part, well, at least in terms of NuGets, I can click on the NuGet packages, then I can click on the package. It can show me its dependencies, and it'll dig all the way into the bowels of hell, right, to see all the package tree there. Like it's just the IDE's better. I know I'm going to hate for that, aren't I?
Yeah, exactly.
but you can see it all. So it's a little bit harder on the Android side. But again, if you understand what you're pulling in, you can usually get around it. Usually. It's not usually as bad as people think. But again, I think I found
this is
a little bit nicer for me.
I agree. I would be totally in agreement there. And I think ultimately, you know, yes, in a perfect world, if you are building a mobile app and you want to use native libraries that, you know, add functionality and stuff to your app that aren't already bound for you, like, you got to roll up your sleeves a little bit. You know, we want it to be easy for you, but at the same time, you're getting paid what you're getting paid to do what you need to do, right? So like go learn how to do some things. We'll give you some patterns to help make it as easy as possible. But there's always going to be some level of work, and you've always got to understand some of the platforms. Right. Like at the end of the day, you know, one thing maybe we don't tell people to do enough is like, I wonder if there'd be enough noise that people could generate with, maybe not with Google, but like maybe with some other, you know, vendor that does a library. And I know we've got some actually that are now talking about like, oh, we want to do a MAUI library for our platform or our SDK or whatever. And like, that's cool. Like that would be great if we had more vendors actually just supporting a way to use their stuff. So like, that's always the rub, right?
At because
the
end, they understand their,
are we going to build you better than Firebase stuff? Right. And also like, it's a weird, like, I mean, I don't want to get into politics of it, but like there is a bit of weird competitiveness, where, you know, it's hard to send, it's hard to do the work to like send you over to use a competing, you know, company's services. Now, and I get it. There's not, you know, like Firebase is a great example. We don't really have an offering for all of those things to send people to. So yeah, you need something. And I get that people want to choose Firebase a lot for those things. Totally understandable. But it, like, you know, just to put it into perspective, it is a bit of a weird space because like we're kind of battling between making you successful with it and pushing you to use, you know, alternative services from competition. So I don't know. It's a weird space, but ultimately I, you know, the making everyone successful is what we're trying to aim for. It's just, how is the best way that we can do that? How do we help you help yourself, basically?
Well, and that's part of it, right? It's the ecosystem for all those that are concerned. You've heard it. We are working on kind of some bindings. We don't know if they're going to be NuGets. They're certainly not. I don't want to say that. I can't say they're going to be. They're not Microsoft hosted the way we're talking about it right now. So
yeah, I think it'll be a community based effort.
So it'll be open. It'll be there. People will be able to maintain it without kind of the red tape, hopefully. And there'll be something out there that'll be community trusted and kind of get like the MAUI community toolkit's been great, right? They have people coming and going all the time. Yeah. And hopefully we can do the same with bindings as we go forward in this, but there's something coming. We're working on it.
Yeah. So that it's not close enough yet that I think we can call that the package plugin or product of the week though.
No.
So what are we going to, you know, have standing
so
for
there
it?
Is this plugin.firebase that's out there. I think a lot of people have been using that, and it's pretty much, I mean, I think it's like the fat Firebase. It does pretty much everything Firebase has to offer that I've seen. So
yeah,
it looks like it's getting a lot of hits. So go check it out.
And it's a cross-platform abstraction, yeah, right? So like it does, you know, it kind of gives you that one API to use everywhere.
Yeah. And like I said, it's pretty popular. I know. I think they're waiting for official bindings or something too. So yeah, it's coming. It's coming, and it'll be great.
Yeah, I think you know, that one in particular. I know I've thought of a bunch about this as we talk about slim bindings. Like I think actually they might be a very good candidate to, you know, one, hopefully, you know, feel like they could contribute to the community effort around the slim bindings of these things that we're working on. But then too, like to kind of create their own destiny with that in terms of helping, you know, have the APIs that they need to fill the implementation of their own cross-platform API, right? So if you look at some of their interfaces and stuff like this, it's a gorgeous project in that sense, the way they've done it. But none of the interfaces are like super difficult or hard. And they're already, because they're already doing this to make it cross-platform, they've already done kind of the work of simplifying the types and things that they use in that API layer, right? So like they're not using like weird platform specific things from the native library on iOS and exposing that in their own API. They're abstracting that with, you know, basic types and stuff. So at the end of the day, yeah, they probably can keep using the Android libraries to do their implementation for that side. But, you know, as we move kind of to this world for iOS, it might make a lot of sense for them to use just the slim binding approach and kind of have their own abstraction that they can easily update as as Firebase updates itself too.
So kind of a recap, slim, small, focused bindings, focused methods. It's not as hard as it sounds. It's just bad John marketing or something, or somebody bad marketing something.
Yeah.
Focused bindings. Let's rename it, redub it.
Yes, exactly. And help yourself, right? And I think the fun part of it all is, like, once we got the basics working, I think we both were kind of like, oh, yeah, that's actually really not hard. Yeah. And it works really well. And it's quite pleasant of a workflow too, right? Because you, like you said, you get to code in with IntelliSense against the native stuff before you try and have to understand the API to do that.
Right. So most of the hassle was around figuring out what Xcode wants us to compile within the CLI. And now we got that.
Exactly. And we have it, and we can keep building from it. So, all right. I think that'll do it for this week. Stay tuned for those repos to drop. In the meantime, while you're waiting, why don't you just take yourself over to the Apple Podcasts app store or whatever, and drop us a review. I think the more 5-star reviews that we get between now and, you know, when this thing's ready, might be a good motivator to push it out the door. Don't you think?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Sounds great.
gotta try where I can, right?
Total marketing.
Good job. And if you do have feedback, if you want to yell at me for that, you can visit us at gonemobile.io. Plenty of ways to get in touch with us there. I think we have some listener feedback that I have piled up that we want to address, maybe a future episode. But, you know, leave it there. Reach out to us one way or another. And keep listening. And we'll see you next time on Gone Mobile.
Thanks, everyone.